Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And again, you get your questions answered live on today's broadcast. Simply dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. This has been quite a week. We started Monday with news of a sweeping decision by the Supreme Court that individual states cannot enforce health regulations on abortion clinics if the result makes abortion less convenient. And then on Tuesday, three Islamic State jihadists blew themselves up at the Ataturk airport in Istanbul, killing at least 44 and injuring over 200. This, of course, is the very nature of the problem, because this is a nation in which Ataturk, after whom the airport is named, first mandated the practical application of separation of Sharia and state. And then just yesterday, a federal judge in Indiana ruled that states cannot prohibit abortion motivated solely by race, sex, or suspected disabilities. In other words, states cannot ban eugenic abortion. And the hits just kept on coming. This morning, I read a front-page news piece about how the NBA continues to put pressure on North Carolina to further redact every compromise that legislators have pursued to soften HB2, the so-called bathroom bill. The league suggested it might even pull the 2017 All-Star game from Charlotte if a compromise did not meet its guiding principles of gender fluidity. And I say gender fluidity specifically because there are now at least 56 different gender varieties that have been proposed or even applied. Of one thing, the National Basketball Association is certain: the biblical prioritization of male-female distinctives is not only obsolete, but it's bigoted. If people self-identify as one sex when their anatomy or their biology testifies to another, we are now obligated to adjust our policies and practices to their self-view, which may be ever-changing based on today's conception of what I just talked about, gender fluidity. In other words, anatomical males who at any given moment feel they may be something other than male must, by NBA standards, be allowed to share toilets and showers with women. And if you've been tuned to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, you know I've been talking about this during the entire month of June. We produced a special edition of the Christian Research Journal, the cover story of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs. The article is a must-read. If you do not have it, it's available for your support. Also, as we start a new month, I want to mention that I am very excited about what we have available for those who support the ministry all this month. The Christian Research Journal published a special printed edition of my address in Bethlehem, West Bank of Palestine, in which I spoke about the gospel in the face of religious extremism. And in that message, in front of a very diverse audience of Muslims and Christians and Jews, I spoke of the major theological fault lines that run through the landscape of Christian Zionism. Again, that has been codified in an exquisite special edition of the Christian Research Journal as a standalone article. It is beautifully illustrated. And you get a sense of what I'm looking at as I look out at an audience. Again, a diverse audience, somewhere between 30 and 40 nations represented. And that, along with my book, The Apocalypse Code and The Fuse of Armageddon, available all this month, for those who support the ministry and for those who give a gift of $100 or more, be pleased to give you all three of the resources. In addition to that, those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to, well, to personalize any one of these resources to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check all of this out on the web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I also wanted to mention on a personal note, I started Monday in horrible pain, had a triple hernia surgery. And each day I got a little stronger. And I give God the glory for that. I'm so grateful for His hand of mercy upon me. I feel as though I'm coming back into form physically, and appreciate all those who have sent notes to me saying that they were praying for me. Let's go to the phone lines. First up today, Mike in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hi, sir. I have a hard topic question. Basically, if you feel worried that you've committed the unpardonable sin and you're a Christian, or maybe even before you were a Christian, how do we ease our mind to know that we haven't done such a thing? Because I continue to go to church and continue to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And just want some clarification on that. It's a real hard thing for a lot of people.
Well, it is a hard thing for a lot of people, and I've spoken about this many times for that very reason. The reality is, anyone who wishes to follow Jesus Christ will never have obstacles thrown in their path. God is not trying to set up barriers. He's done all so that those who love Him and wish to follow the principles of His kingdom may be able to do that very thing. So if you love the Lord, if you genuinely have repented of your sins, if you have taken up your cross and daily following Him have committed yourself to the principles and precepts of the kingdom, then you can be assured that you are not in the category of those who have committed the unforgivable sin. I would say one other thing. The unforgivable sin is not an act, as though you did something in the past which can't be undone. The unforgivable sin is a willful, conscious, ongoing, premeditated denial of the grace and the love and the goodness that could be yours through Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So when you are someone that is not denying that, you are not in the category of having committed the unpardonable sin.
Okay. The Matthew scripture, then, when the Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, that doesn't pertain to us and to this day and age. That's before He died on the cross. Is that correct, sir?
No, it's not correct in that sense. People were saved before the cross, just as they are after the cross. Before the cross, they look forward to the cross, and after the cross, they look back at the cross. But the cross stands in the fulcrum of history, so all are saved in the same way. But what I'm saying is that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in Matthew, Matthew's rendering of the unforgivable sin, they had committed the unpardonable sin because Christ, the Lord of glory, knew that they had hardened their hearts such that they were willing to say that Jesus, though they knew he had come through the doorway of the Old Testament prophecies, that Jesus was doing what he was doing in terms of the miracles demonstrating that he was God, that he was doing those miracles by the power and province of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And this was their unforgivable sin. It was within a historical context. That historical context is people, again, that with premeditation, in an ongoing, capricious fashion, denied the Lord of glory in their midst. And this in no way applies to your situation.
Okay, I just want to say God bless you and thank you for your ministry, sir.
You are welcome. Thank you so much for calling in today. And I want to mention, this is something that I have answered over and over again, and I will continue to do that. It is obviously very significant to people. But I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is now available in a revised, updated format through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute and bookstores everywhere. Again, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, already over 500,000 copies of various permutations of the Complete Bible Answer Book, now sold around the world, and it is available to those who support the ministry prayerfully and financially. And for those that join the monthly CRI support team, be pleased to send a personalized copy to you, to a family member, or to a friend. Something else I wanted to do before I forget is to read a letter I got from Victor. This was one of those letters that touched my heart. And when I say that, it is not a trite expression. It's very straightforward, short. Victor writes, "Dear Hank and CRI, I just wanted to congratulate you and all the CRI staff and writers on the latest CRI journal. It's the best one yet. The writing, the contact, I should say content, is impactful and very pertinent to our times and situations around the globe. Great job, CRI. God bless you all, and thanks for being ambassadors of Christ to the church all over the world. I am very grateful for the Christian Research Institute." And the reason I highlight this particular testimony is it is one more evidence of what is happening worldwide as a result of the many outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. You think about the fact that I was able, by God's grace, to go to the West Bank of Palestine and speak in Bethlehem on the gospel in the face of religious extremism, now reduced to an incredible article which is available as a standalone piece through the Christian Research Journal and available for your support. Or think about the work that I'm doing in Asia, the work that the Christian Research Institute is doing literally around the globe. Lives are being impacted all over the world. Recently in Seoul, Korea, where I spoke to thousands of people and many, many more listening live via streaming. So opportunities God has given us all over the globe, and that does not happen by accident. It happens because people are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I mentioned a funding gap. You could see it on the front page or the homepage of equip.org. All last month, we were not able to close the funding gap sufficiently. But I do believe that God has some of His people who will help us do that so that we can get back on track soon. All that to say, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. A resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Some of the subjects that I deal with, like a bathroom bill, may not sound all that sexy. But the fact is, these are issues that have to be addressed. Our culture is heading in the wrong direction. So sometimes what I do doesn't necessarily spark the greatest attention because people seem apathetic towards it, but it's still necessary to do, and we'll continue to do what we do because life and truth matter. Be right back with answers to your questions.
Does the Bible mandate Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the Jewish people? Is there truly a need to rebuild a temple and inflame the fires of Armageddon in the 21st century? Learn what's at stake when the interpretation of prophecy is distorted through the historically recent yet wildly embraced lens of dispensationalism. Receive Hank Hanegraaff's special article, A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism, when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an obsession, resulting in rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or complicated charts. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to very controversial questions. What does it mean to take the book of Revelation and the rest of the Bible literally? Who is the Antichrist? And how does our view of the end times influence the way we think about the crisis in the Middle East? To receive your copy of the Apocalypse Code as our thanks for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Think about it. For cultural Zionists, the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians is a defensible cruelty. For Christian Zionists, it's a divine command. When we get biblical prophecy wrong, more than theological error is involved. It can lead to justifying the slaughter of innocents, some of whom are Christian brothers and sisters. In his article, A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism, Hank Hanegraaff addresses the very real consequences of biblical interpretation run amok. Problems with Christian Zionism are further clarified in his book, The Apocalypse Code, and the end-time fiction novel, Fuse of Armageddon. Receive any of these three resources by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, taking your calls live on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. 888-ASK-HANK, the number to dial, numerically 888-275-4265. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to David next in Fresno, California. David is listening on BOD Radio. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. That gender policy that's going on right now with the bathroom issue and stuff like that, my comment to you is I agree with you totally, by the way. And also, if I was out somewhere at a restaurant or something, and I got my 11-year-old granddaughter with me, and she goes to use the restroom, and I see some freak walking in after her, I would go in after them, and I would make sure my granddaughter's okay, whether they like it or not.
Well, I think it's really important for us to do what we do with two things in mind. One is, obviously, we want to protect our children, but we also want to reach the world as opposed to repel. And this is a wonderful opportunity for us to demonstrate the love and grace and truth that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human life. And so on the one hand, I have to say it is troubling for me to hear people use language that is untoward, whether it's talking about Islamic jihadists as savages or animals, or transgender people as freaks. All of that is troubling to me, and I'll tell you why. What we have to recognize first and foremost is that all human beings are made in the image and likeness of God, and that alone gives them intrinsic value. Not only that, but we have to humbly recognize that here, but for the grace of God, go I. Which is to say, we all struggle with all kinds of maladies. And the only thing that brings life and light is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a gospel that transforms us. So the idea, yes, we have to, with every fiber and ounce of our conviction, combat Islamic jihadism, or comment graciously but directly on abortion, or counter the direction that our culture is going in with respect to gender fluidity, because ideas have consequences. And there are real consequences involved in these ideas that we're talking about. But the real issue here comes down to speaking the truth and speaking the truth in love. So while Scripture condemns distorting one's assigned sex, it also calls believers to love their neighbors, transgenders included, to live at peace with all people, and to treat others as they wish to be treated themselves. And as Joe Dallas pointed out in the special edition of the Christian Research Journal, the so-called bathroom bills deserve our support because they do not violate any of these injunctions. But we do not want to fall into the trap of being ungodly in how we counter ungodly behaviors. When I talk about ungodly behaviors, there's no question whatsoever that what we're talking about here with the bathroom bill that I talked about at the opening of the show is about ungodly behavior. Think about the fact that Facebook now offers 56 separate categories of gender identity. That's why I use the term gender fluidity. The classifications include those who identify as agender, no gender at all, androgynous, both genders combined, making them a third gender, bigender, in other words, you switch between male and female at different times. So at one point, if you're an anatomical male, you use the men's bathroom. Maybe the next day you feel as though you are a female, then you use the female bathroom. Some of this stuff is hard to imagine, you just can't make it up. Then you have the two-spirit, another gender. This is a Native American concept of male and female spirits dwelling in the same body. And again, you can laugh, but we should not, because the trend goes beyond de-genderization and steps into literal dehumanizing people made in the image and likeness of God. And the dehumanizing part of it with gender fluidity includes categories like otherkins, people containing non-human identities such as animals or spirits. Like I said, the hits just keep on coming. Talk about this in a special edition of the Christian Research Journal, which includes so much more, including an article by Paul Nelson, Effective Evangelism is the category, and it's an article on the genetic fallacy titled Why Accept the Pythagorean Theorem. And Dr. Nelson tackles the oft-cited claim by atheists that Christians believe in God only because they grew up in a Christian context. But Nelson shows that this confuses the casual origin of one's beliefs with the entirely independent question of whether those beliefs are true. This is a wonderful article and one of many. In fact, I conclude that particular edition of the Christian Research Journal with an article titled, Does Its Condemnation of Homosexuality Demonstrate That the Bible is Antiquated? And I point out that there's an obvious difference between enduring moral principles regarding homosexuality and temporary civil and ceremonial laws relegated to a particular historical context. So we would do well to recognize that the God of the Bible does not condemn homosexuality in an arbitrary or a capricious fashion. Instead, he carefully defines the borders of human sexuality so that our joy might be complete. It doesn't require some type of an advanced degree in physiology to appreciate the fact that the human body is not designed for homosexual relationships. And the homosexual lifestyle causes a host of complications. And while there are attendant moral and medical problems with sexual promiscuity in general, it would be homophobic in the extreme to obscure the scientific realities concerning homosexuality. It is a hate crime, in my view, of unparalleled proportions to attempt to keep a whole segment of the population in the dark concerning these kinds of issues. And therefore, far from demonstrating that the Bible is out of step with the times, as the NBA supposes, its warnings regarding homosexual behavior demonstrate that it is as relevant today as it was from the very onset. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Matt. He's listening in Springfield, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Hank. Hey, Just I had a question here. I'm actually just started reading the Bible, and it's a little different for me. But I was wondering, there's a lot of different versions of the Bible, and I wanted to know which one would be best for to go about. Like, you've got the New International Version, you've got the King James. I don't know. I would just like to know, maybe like from your background, like which would be the most appropriate to start studying reading.
Well, I think that we are blessed in our epoch of time with an abundance of riches with respect to Bible translations. So it really depends. I use a variety of translations. For example, if I'm memorizing Proverbs, I always do so using the NASB, and the reason I do that is because the NASB is pithy. It's more in the genre of word-for-word translation as opposed to, let's say, the NIV, thought-for-thought translation. But oftentimes, if I'm quoting Scripture, as I do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, or when I speak, I'm using NIV, the New International Version. The reason I use that is because it is in the common street language of the day. So it's translated in a way that when I talk, oftentimes people say, you know, the one objection I have to your talk is that you never used a Bible. And I was quoting Scripture all along, and they evidently were unaware of it. So we have wonderful translations, and those are two of the translations that I prefer, along with the New King James Version, which I think takes into account the best manuscript evidence available today, as well as the evolution of language and progress in our knowledge and understanding of the original biblical languages.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you would say they are in words, like, they are accurate in, like, the new International Version and stuff like that. I mean, they would be accurate with the Hebrew and Greek versions and stuff like that.
Absolutely accurate. In fact, increasingly more so. I mean, the translations we've had, starting on with the English translation of the King James Version in 1604, completed in 1611, was fantastic. There were translations before that, of course. But, I mean, right up until the present, fantastic. But what the newer translations do is, as I mentioned, they account for the evolution of language. So there are words that meant one thing 100 years ago and mean something entirely different today. For example, prevent in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 meant go before or proceed. And leasing in Psalm 4:2 meant falsehood. Well, what you have in the modern translations, instead of using the word leasing, they use falsehood because it is self-evidently understandable. And then there's progress in our knowledge and understanding of the original biblical languages, as I meant. And so there are some words that are translated improperly, let's say in the King James Version, and now translated properly. But these are minor issues. They don't affect any major doctrine. And the third thing, as I mentioned, the discovery of earlier and better manuscripts, and that manuscript evidence demonstrates conclusively that certain inclusions in the King James Version were unwarranted. But again, these are minor issues, not major issues. We'll be right back.
Tragically, millions of American Christians have failed to understand what the Bible really says about the end times, and this has led them to support government policies that oppress Christian brothers and sisters in Palestine. Hank Hanegraaff's article, A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism, in a special issue of the Christian Research Journal, addresses the very real consequences of biblical interpretation run afoul of the truth. To receive your copy of Hank's article as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org. Hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn is unaware that global catastrophe is hours away. He's equally unaware of how his past is about to betray him. When he's sent into a hostage situation in the Gaza Strip with the woman who arrested him, they become unlikely allies fleeing for survival. Only the two of them can stop an unholy trinity prepared to trigger a final battle of civilizations and prevent the coming Armageddon. The issue of extreme religio-political ideologies has never been more relevant. Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer co-authored Fuse of Armageddon to entertain as well as to inform you about the dangers Christians face worldwide from terrorism. To receive your copy of Fuse of Armageddon as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Ideas have consequences. So does bad theology. In fact, Hank Hanegraaff observes Palestinian Christian brothers and sisters are suffering in the Holy Land in part because too many American Christians don't know the future from the past, and they're convinced that the land promises God made to Abraham are as yet unfulfilled. Their critical error is failing to see that all the types and shadows of the Old Covenant, including the Holy Land of Israel, the Holy City of Jerusalem, and the Holy Temple, already have been fulfilled in Christ. In three powerful resources, Hank addresses the very real consequences of biblical interpretation run amok. Receive Hank's special article, A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism, his book, The Apocalypse Code, or his end-time fiction novel, Fuse of Armageddon, by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Matt, listening in Indiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Matt.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. My question is, I was reading through the Old Testament in my yearly reading program that I do, and I think it's 2 Samuel where they're talking about the death of King Saul and how David finds out about the death of King Saul. And it says where King Saul fell on his own sword, but then David finds out through an Aramean soldier who claims that he killed King Saul. And I was just curious if you had some insight why the difference there.
Well, I think the operative word there is claims. You have a man who is going to the king seeking to ingratiate himself with the king by saying that he killed Saul, not knowing the perspective that David would have on God's anointed one who was the first king of Israel. And so I think it's important to realize that here you have someone, an uncircumcised fellow, as he's described, I think, in the text, someone who is perhaps lying in order to win favor with the new king of Israel. I think that's what's going on. There's no question whatsoever that the straight narrative in the last chapter, I think it is, of 1 Samuel, the narrative there points out that that Saul fell on his own sword.
Yeah. Okay, that's kind of what I thought, but I just kind of wanted to see if you had any kind of clarification.
You got it. Thank you for your call back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Rick listening in Missouri, KSIV. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Hank. Over the years, I've heard you answer the question about, you know, how would a loving God or why would a loving God condemn people to hell? And your answer that I've heard, and the way I interpret it, is that all of those who are condemned make a conscious choice that that's where they want to be. And my feeling, based on my experience in life, is that there's another group of people, a very large group, that are either by choice or otherwise, they reject the whole notion of hell, so they're deceived to the point where they don't believe in hell. And so it's this deception that they end up in hell. Next thing you know, they're saying, what's going on here? I hate this place. And, you know, had they known better, they'd, you know, be in heaven with Jesus.
Well, think about the logic of that argument. When you have a person who has the light of creation, they have the knowledge of God written on the tablet of their consciousness, and therefore they can respond to God's goodness, grace, which provides them light. And as they search after that light, they receive more light. Those people have every opportunity to consider the claims of Christ because they have considered the claims of creation and conscience. So what you have in essence is reality to the words of Jesus Christ, who said to Nicodemus, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Jesus pointing out that the problem is not that there's not enough light, but rather underscoring the fact that people reject light because that is what they want. And that's why I say, if someone is rejecting the goodness and grace of God and wants no relationship with Him in this life, God gives them what they want in the life to come. But I've also qualified this by saying it is not the absence of truth that damns, it is ultimately the despising of truth that damns. God is not an unjust God. He is a God of perfect symmetry between His love and His justice. And while we cannot calibrate all of that in this time-space continuum in the greatest size, we will see that His judgments were absolutely pristinely correct, such that we're told that we will extol his grace and goodness along with his justice?
Well, thank you, Hank.
That help?
That does. You almost sounded cavalier the couple times that I heard you say that, because there's people that are deceived by the devil, but I get your point that what you're saying is they have enough light to choose not to be deceived by the devil. So anyway,
ultimately what I'm saying, and never should we ever be cavalier about this subject, I'm glad you even brought that up, because to any degree that we are cavalier about this, we are remiss in our responsibility. This is the weightiest of all realities that every single person is either going to spend eternity separated from the loving goodness of God or rejoicing in that loving goodness for forever and ever and ever. So you can't think of anything more significant, and therefore to have any kind of a cavalier attitude towards this would be a horrendous evil. Because you think about how Jesus dealt with this. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. So Jesus is using prophetic hyperbole to underscore the incredible the incredible weight, the gravity of what happens for all eternity. We should never be cavalier about this. But nonetheless, having said that, we can say that hell is God's great complement to the reality of human freedom and the dignity of human choice, as I think it was J.K. Chesterton put it. So we see that we can, of our volition, choose to love God or reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit. So love matters. God does not simply want to force himself on people.
Well done, Hank, and I thank you for your time, and you're the best.
Well, thank you, and you added a lot to it. Thank you for that word, cavalier. We should never, and I think this could happen, even on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I can unwittingly answer a question I've answered many times, and it's just sort of rote. But I don't think we should ever do that. You're absolutely right. We'd never be cavalier. And to the extent that we are, we should ask for forgiveness. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Ron in Cloverdale, Indiana, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Ron.
Hi. My question is, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, okay, we got the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, and as Christians, when we go to treat a non-Christian the way we would want to be treated, sometimes we will, they will reject our the way we think and our values and so forth. And I think that's what's happening with, these bathroom laws and so, and some of the decisions on the gay marriages and so forth. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's absolutely right. I think that the iron boot of the LGBTQ, and now there's other letters appended to it, would be one of them. But as these letters keep getting appended to this and it becomes broader and broader, there's an iron boot that is crushing Christianity at its very core. No question about that. But we have to recognize that this is not the Jerusalem that we long for. We long for the Jerusalem that is above. She is free, and she is our mother, and that's what we're looking forward to. In the meantime, we're not even called to win. We are called to be faithful and fruitful and to model our master. If you are a Muslim, you are, by design, called to model the life and legacy of Muhammad, who was a murderer from the beginning. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are called to follow his principles and precepts. He gave us great example. You know, this is one of the great benefits of reading through the Synoptic Gospels and then John. You read through them again and again, and you start to get the tenor of the life of Christ. It starts to resonate like music in your ear. And after a while, you start recognizing, oh, I better not do this, I better not do that, not because of some legalistic prescription, but because you want to emulate the one who changed the world. And we're called to be that very thing, change agents in the culture. Not those who imitate the culture, but cultural initiators. Based on the modeling of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's why Jesus said we're having trouble in this world, because we don't, the world doesn't think like we do or like he does. They don't want to be like Jesus. They want to be, you know, doing their own thing and whatever happens.
Sure.
Everybody's coming up with a different set of morals and beliefs, and that's why we're going to have these trials and tribulations, these troubles.
Sure, and that's exactly what Jesus said. In this world, you will have trial and tribulation. You'll have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So what we're looking forward to, and it is what allowed scared, scattered disciples to turn an empire upside down, it was the fact that they knew that they were going to be resurrected to an eternity of joy with the one who will restore all things. My apologies to those calling in or hanging on. I look forward to talking to you next week. Remember, all next week I'll be doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast live. Happy 4th of July. Then starting on Tuesday, we'll be doing the broadcast live Tuesday, Wednesday, and so forth. So stick with us. I look forward to seeing you next week, and do thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Does what you believe about the end times really matter? In three powerful resources, Hank addresses the very real consequences of biblical interpretation run amok and why what you believe the Bible teaches about the end times matters today. Receive Hank's special article, A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism, his book, The Apocalypse Code, or his end time fiction novel, Fuse of Armageddon, by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. Equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an obsession, resulting in rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or complicated charts. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to very controversial questions. What does it mean to take the book of Revelation and the rest of the Bible literally? Who is the Antichrist? And how does our view of the end times influence the way we think about the crisis in the Middle East? To receive your copy of the Apocalypse Code as our thanks for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.